Welcome to a place where two HR professionals, who happen to be twins, by the way, have shop talk about HR, careers, and all the things you want to say at work but won't. The Career Salon is a place to relax, a place to learn, and a place to be yourself.
This is a judgment-free zone where we put it all on the table to become better. We learn many things from our guests and hope you grab a couple of things to take with you as well. We spend most of our time at work, so let's talk about what that means. Come on in. The salon is open.
Welcome to the Career Salon Podcast with the HR Twins. We are back. It's been a minute. We haven't done like a one-on-one podcast in a minute. We've been doing with guests and stuff.
Yes.
And taking breaks.
Yes.
And also, regarding the topic that we're talking about for this podcast, we've been parenting. So this podcast topic is really comparing like what we should be doing or not doing in our careers to what our toddlers do. So we can learn a lot of lessons or not from toddlers is what we're learning as fairly new parents.
I'm almost 7 years in. Hello.
Hey, whatever. Yes, but there are so many things that our kids do that we think is hilarious or ridiculous. And so comparatively, in our careers in HR and recruiting, we think there are a lot of things that people do that is either amazing or ridiculous. So we're going to draw those parallels on this podcast. So Carla, kick us off. And tell us about one thing, you know, a couple things or one thing that, you know, your kids or, you know, your nephew, my son does that's amazing that we should all kind of look forward to or do in our careers.
Let me just say that the foundational thing that we should realize is that no kids are the same. Even if they're in the same family, they're different. Like I have two kids, two girls, and they're both very different. They respond differently to different things. And so that's one thing that we recognize about the workforce. There's no two employees.
Yes.
So this is the perfect grassroots lesson for managing, you know, workforce, employees, leading, following all of those.
Yes, that's a great example.
So the first thing that I noticed about kids that we all should admire is their honesty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, they have no filter.
No filter.
So, you know, we kind of got to work on tone, placement, time, audience, all that. Because, like, for example, we were in a restaurant on Saturday and my six-year-old, a guy came into the restaurant. He was pretty tall, kind of husky. And my six-year-old was like, whoa, now he's a giant. And I was like, oh my God, you can't just, and he heard it. And he was like, it's okay. We get that. I get that all the time. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing.
Yeah. The same with my child who is in the Target parking lot and sees a woman with green hair. Whoa, watch out for the green hair. And I'm like, oh my God, mortified. No filter at all. Just loud and just the outburst. So yeah, honest to a fault, but they get a pass because they're toddlers. Now adults.
Right.
Hey.
Yes.
Monitor your filter, people.
Right. But they're definitely not passive aggressive. If it's something on their mind, yes, they'll just say
it. I appreciate
it
that.
And let the, and let the chips fall. They get on me. Like if I had low self-esteem, yeah, it really would be a weird time in my life right now because they let me have it.
Same here. Same here. So yes, we love the honesty of the toddlers, but you know, we would prefer them have a filter. And also, I loved how you talked about how your kids are different. And I always say that about management and leadership styles. When you talk about leaders, I always encourage leaders to really think about it's people over processes. You're not just managing the same person over and over again. It is everyone's different. Everyone's individuals on your team, and you have to learn how to relate to each person, individual, and your team as a whole. So that is a good lesson to learn when you think about having multiple kids and how they're all different and you have to relate to them in different ways.
Yeah. The next thing that I think is awesome about what toddlers or kids do, they ask for what they want.
Yes.
Like, there's no guessing games on, I wonder what so-and-so would like for dinner, or I wonder what so-and-so would like to do today. If you ask them, they will tell you. And even if you don't ask them, they have some ideas of their own.
Yes, they do.
Okay. You know, on Saturdays and Sundays, they know it's no school. So my 4-year-old is all like, you know, can we go to a restaurant? Can we get some dinner out at a restaurant? Like, she's asking for what she wants. I can appreciate that. But at the same time, you don't have a wallet.
Yes. I mean, kids do ask for what they want. And sometimes people in their careers at various stages, we don't. It's a lot because I don't think that some people know how to ask for what they want. But like we tell our kids all the time, use your words.
Yes.
Use your words. There's a craft to, you know, asking for what you need, for what you want. And so I definitely encourage people to learn that lesson from kids who literally ask for what they want all the time involuntarily.
Where do you think that, so, you know, somebody can equate asking for what you want as advocating for yourself. Yeah. Where do you think we lose that? Because I know I lost it for myself a little bit throughout my career as an adult, but I know I had it as a young person, a toddler, because I think everybody does that. So how do you think people lose that? It doesn't translate to adulthood sometimes.
I think it's just being caught up in the corporate game. And being in some environments that condition you, you know, like a retaliatory environment where you don't feel like you can advocate for yourself or ask for what you want. You fear that something like a negative result will occur if you ask for the thing that you need, right? So, you know, kids are going to ask. They're not going to get punished or anything for asking questions or asking for what they need. The most they'll get is a no, not at this time, maybe another time or something like that. I think in corporate America, it can be different, right? It can be like, okay, you're asking for all of these things and you want A, B, and C, and it may be viewed upon negatively. And you could feel like, you know, you might be affected long term for asking what you need in your career, you know, depending on the environment that you're in. I think that conditions
people. You know what I hear when you say that? Sometimes time and even experiences can be a detriment to us. Mm-hmm. If we don't sit down and like self-reflect on our needs and how that aligns with where we are, what job we're at, what point in our career we're at. If we don't sit down and really think about it and we're just going, not really thinking about what we're doing, sometimes we can let time and experience be a detriment to us because it quenches some of our natural
curiosity
and things that we would normally do that we've, you know, been doing since we were little children. And some of those experiences have kind of tainted that a little bit. That's why I see that a little bit. I mean, the innocence of a child, the innocence of it all, Yeah, we kind of lose some of that as we matriculate. Like our high school principal used to say, matriculate through life. And that's unfortunate.
On the flip side,
you know,
let's learn a lesson from kids as well, because kids also know how to run game. And so while there's that natural curiosity, there's that honesty, that asking questions and kind of asking for what you want, they also feel out their parents, us, feel out their parents.
Yeah.
And then try to like go around and like kind of finagle a situation that benefits them. And like they kind of run game on you. So they learn after they get a little bit older how to run game on you. Right. So there's the flip side to advocating for yourself, being curious, asking questions, asking for what you want. They are getting to know you in that interaction. And they're like, oh yeah, if I do this, this, and this, I can ask mommy, or I can go back and ask daddy, and I can run it this way. And then that's how I'll get what I want. Like, yeah.
Oh, negotiation at its finest.
Okay. Yes. And,
you know, I tell my kids, they'll give me kisses and say, I love you so much. And I'll be like, don't butter me up. I'm not buttering you up. Don't butter me up. Because they know.
Yeah. So that's the flip side of that whole thing. Yep.
Yeah. So our next thing that we admire about kids is, for the most part, they learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, I think they do.
Like when you say, don't touch that hot stove.
Yes.
And they're like, you know what? I don't believe it's hot. Don't touch the hot stove. It's hot. And they go ahead and do it. And they get that little touch of hot. They pretty much are not going to do that anymore.
Right. Hopefully.
So I think that's an awesome lesson to learn, because mistakes are not something you want to repeat. It's just something you want to learn.
Yeah.
Nobody wakes up and says, I'm looking forward to making mistakes.
You're right.
Who does that? Who does that?
So hopefully people, you know, if you make a mistake, or you do something, you're like, oh, I should have done that. You'll like never do it again. And I mean, to be honest, like Carla, between you and I both, and also colleagues and friends that we have to tell us about situations at work and stuff like that, I don't know if a lot of employees have learned their lesson with like making mistakes and doing it over and over again. Like, you know, I'm not in the HR employee relations world, but I have been from outside looking in, and you like sometimes look at things. I'm like, why is this person doing this over and over and over again? Have they not learned their lesson yet? Oh my goodness. It's just so frustrating. And that's, you know, so that's one of the things I see as far as a parallel to like, you know, careers and corporate and the work life is sometimes people don't learn their lesson, but take a lesson from children. And most children, when they're young and they're learning, like you said, Carla, they might make that one mistake, but they'll not do it again once they like the results.
Now the next day they might go make another mistake in a different area.
A different
one. Yeah. And then the next day after that is a different the next day after that. So it might accumulate and you might be like, okay, I disagree with y'all because my child is making mistakes like every day. Okay. But is it the same mistake though? Like, you know. But I do see most kids redirecting and getting on top of it and learning the lesson. So the next one is admirable.
Okay, we got more.
Is just one more. Being okay with feedback. And when I tell you that is a lesson in maturity that most people don't have. Like, to be honest, earlier in my career, I didn't have that. Like, because
I would get offended.
Me too. Like, what? I'm a I'm a perfectionist. I know I perfected what I do every day, and you still have feedback on me.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a no. That would be a, you don't know what you're doing. But I notice with kids, I give my kids feedback all day, every day, down to correcting language, mm-hmm. like if they use words incorrectly or if they say something that was slightly inappropriate for a child their age because they learned it at school or yeah. something like that. Constantly having those conversations and giving them feedback like, we don't do that, or that's not nice, or it's not that word, it's this word. And they say, okay, correct it in a moment and keep on going. But, you know,
yeah,
sometimes in the workplace,
yeah, people don't take it. But also, Carla, that's because some people don't know how to give feedback. True. It's all in the way you say it. Because, you know, my child doesn't respond to inflection in the voice and facial expression sometimes that I make. Like, he really responds to getting down on his level, talking to him in a calm tone and really asking him questions like, do you understand? And, you know, mommy wants the best for you and stuff like that. And really, and that's when he absorbs it the most, you know, the feedback. And I think that, you know, that, so let me take it back. That's when it comes to knowing your team, knowing your individuals that you're interacting with, so that you're able mm-hmm. to, you know, manage expectations and give them feedback in a way that they will receive it because you have a relationship with them. Sometimes it doesn't always work like that because you know, employees gonna employee. So,
right.
So, yeah, sometimes it doesn't always work like that. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's the arrogance of it all. Sometimes when people are like, because I know back in the day, I'm like, I know this. I know that. I do this. I do that.
Right.
I need feedback.
Oh,
you know, you can get humble real quick.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, I was actually talking to a leader in the last few weeks, and I was just telling her that the thing that I've learned over the last probably 10 years of my career, the importance of being a good follower. To be a good follower, you have to be, that leads into being a good leader. So the best leaders are great followers. And being a good follower means that you're willing to accept the lesson that someone else is wanting to teach you and guide you and give you advice and do all the things. And when we have a hard time, you know, accepting all of that, that's when we tend to struggle as leaders. Yeah. So, you know, it really is important to be okay with feedback and to also not just jump to that people have bad intentions when they give you feedback. I think people, because, you know, we naturally as humans see some feedback as negative, or you're trying to attack me and, you know, my character or what I do or my skill set. We tend to just turn to feedback as a negative thing, like the person that's giving it has bad intentions and they want me to fail.
Some people do.
I agree. But I'm saying that's the thing with kids. I think that's why they receive feedback better, is because they know that we only want to keep them safe. We want them to learn and be productive little people.
Mm-hmm.
So before we go to the next part of the podcast, when we're talking about what children do that can be translated to the workforce that, you know, maybe kind of, you know, let's take a break and hear from our sponsor, Anchor. All right, we're back.
You're back.
So, Camille,
yes,
let's get into what some children, specifically, we're talking about toddlers because we have toddlers, but children do that may not be the best for the work environment. It may be detrimental to their careers. So the first thing that we have on the list is walking around entitled.
A hit dog, a holler, because baby, the entitlement of it all, this day and age is like amazing.
Yes.
I see it. I mean, just as much as I see it in my child, I have seen it in my career, the totality of it in certain areas where I'm like, whoa, yeah, they have 2 years experience and they want to be an SVP. Interesting. So, yeah, that is, yeah, that is the real thing, the entitlement piece.
Yeah. Or how about, because I eat not even a full meal, but I ate some of what you gave me, you owe me a snack.
Yes.
After every single meal.
I work 30 days. You owe me a raise and I want a spot bonus.
Hello. What about it? Because I'm trying to figure out. So we need to do a podcast on the snack employee. Like, you want a snack after every single thing that you do. Like,
yeah, no.
That what we're not doing is that.
Yes, and we are not giving out participation trophies.
You ate a yummy grilled cheese. Grilled cheese is not food. Like, and you want a snack. Like, you acted like you went over and beyond. It's a grilled cheese with butter. Yeah, no.
Yeah, that is a reward.
Yeah, that's a reward. That's not a full meal. But anyway, moving on to our next point. What about throwing tantrums? Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a fine way to get what you want.
It's a fine way to get what you want. Yes, it is. Oh, my goodness. Now, my child doesn't throw tantrums very often, but when he does, I'm just like, okay, you go over there and do what you're going to do. Or wherever we are, we're leaving. And then, of course, it had to be something. You know, every time you step outside, you spend $200. So,
right.
So this child is out, you know, throwing a tantrum. You obviously are not going to get money spent on you. So we're going home.
Right.
So throwing tantrums, especially as a toddler or as an adult in the workplace, that's a perfect way not to get anything. And also, you know, it's just a perfect way not to get anything and not for your peers and your colleagues to look at you like, are you serious right now? Because that's how I look at my child.
Man, I want to run. And yeah, I literally don't know what to do when my children, I do know what to do, but I'm trying to do it a different way than Mary Ann did for us. So yeah, that's definitely not a way to get what you want. Our next point is rejecting the things that are good for
vegetables.
You.
Vegetables. Toddlers hate vegetables. Well, some toddlers don't, our toddlers hate vegetables.
Yes. And Mariah likes broccoli, but you know, one vegetable. Oh, and carrots.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah. But yeah, rejecting the things that are good for you. Like you mentioned, Carla, when we were talking before, like training, development, coaching,
plans, goals,
yes, all objectives, you name it. Those things are good for you. It's good for you to have some of that foundation. And I think so many people reject some of those things that are good for them in their careers.
Yeah, they even reject things that would help them. You know, a lot of people say, I need my manager to guide my career. I need my manager to give me a North Star. And it's like, I'm trying, but you're kind of rejecting everything that I'm trying to do because obviously you want it a certain way. So maybe you should kind of outline what you want. And that goes back to asking for what you want, because if I'm trying to work out a plan to, you know, enrich your experience or career where we're at, and you're not collaborating with me or, you know, being self-aware, I mean, what can I do?
You're right. So
goodness. So next thing and last thing, losing focus.
Losing focus.
What?
You know, toddlers, their focus is only 30 seconds, sometimes less.
What? Yes. Yeah.
And yeah, we, you know, in the workforce, people lose focus quickly as well.
Especially in a remote
environment. Yeah, that's true.
You kind of really don't know, like, are you working a full 8 hours? Or what? Like, we didn't get to that because, I don't know, because I can't tell what you're doing. Yeah, so I think, you know, there have been a couple of things over the past couple of years that have contributed to people losing focus, and rightly so. We've had a pandemic. We've been stuck in the house. We've dealt with family members in COVID. Yeah. And so there's a lot, lots of variables to that. But when you are focused, it shows up in your work.
Yep.
So, you know, I can tell when my 6-year-old brings work that they did in a classroom home. And I can tell when she's focused or not. When her elephant looks like a moon, we weren't focusing a little bit. So it shows up in the product. It shows up in what you produce when you have focus.
So everybody's not going to be 100% focused all the time. It's natural to lose focus, right? But
of
you
course.
Have self-readjust, like, adjust your focus and like get it back together, right? Because I lose focus a lot, but I know I'm like,
hello, you talking to somebody that got undiagnosed ADHD.
Yes, same.
So I know about losing the focus.
Yes. So, you know, as long as you are self-aware and you can refocus, and kids don't, as they grow, yes, they will have that ability to kind of like to regulate their focus. But like when they're toddlers, sometimes they don't. But as adults, we can recognize that behavior and put ourselves back on track. So,
yeah. Or recognize that we need help with putting ourselves back on track and get the help that we need to make sure we focus and get what we need to do, like, in our jobs out the door.
That was awesome, Carla. Just like drawing those parallels to kids and the workforce. I mean, it's so many different things that are similar to raising kids. And this is a big part of the reason why our podcast has been sporadic. But I'm glad we're back and, you know, just having a career salon discussions as we do. So we're so glad that you all joined us for this episode of the Career Salon Podcast. And hopefully you'll stay connected with us and continue to listen along. Hope you have a great day. Bye.
Looking for a network to elevate your career goals? Membership with the Black in HR has benefits designed to elevate you as a professional. Our members grow their careers, connecting through networking events, professional courses, and social groups. The Elite Membership Program includes discounts on coaching and courses, private events, and free masterclasses from world-class instructors. Visit theblackinhr.com to register and join us.
This is Carla, the HR expert.
And this is Camille, the recruiting expert.
And we're the HR twins. You just finished an episode of the Career Salon Podcast.
Be sure to follow us on all social media platforms at The Career Salon. And don't forget to subscribe and follow on all podcast platforms for upcoming episodes.